The presenting sponsor of today's podcast is Fifth Element CBD. Fifth Element is ultra-high milligram CBD focused on relief and recovery after a workout. They are specially designed for people with an active lifestyle, from weekend warriors to professional athletes to bucket list gym enthusiasts. Fifth Element, aka 5E, is full-spectrum high-milligram hemp to help you whenever, wherever you need it, whether it's after the gym or after work. Get yours today to feel better tomorrow by visiting 5ehemp.com and use the promo code MONSTER for 50% off. Yes, you heard that right. 50% off. Half off. That's 5ehemp.com and use the code MONSTER. Go to 5ehemp and get 50% off. That's the number 5, the letter E, hemp.com.
Welcome back to episode 4 of the Red Sox On Deck Prospect Podcast. I am your host, Jake Devereaux of Over the Monster, the Dynasty Guru, and Fantrax HQ. And today I am joined by Shelly Verstrait of the Dynasty Guru, Over the Monster, and Pitcher List, and Bob Osgood of the Dynasty Guru and Over the Monster. Welcome to the show. Let's start with you, Shelly. Give us an update on things in Shelly World. How are you?
Shelly World is going okay. The weather's nice. You know, I got to, you know, take the, you know, the two boys on a walk the other day. So that was really great. Both Soto and Orsillo loved the walk. And real baseball games actually start next week. So everything is all good here.
Nice. Yeah, I saw a video of Soto from the Frenchie meetup that you went to, and he was cruising. He's got some speed.
Yeah, man. Soto's got 80 grade speed, so watch out. Like, if you guys play in fantasy baseball leagues, Soto, he might steal some bases this year.
Okay. All right. We'll be watching for that. From Shelly World, we move over to Bobville. Bob, what's going on over there?
80 grade speed. That's unheard of. So I'm excited to see that. I'm doing well. I mean, speaking of fantasy baseball, this is a big week for that. So I'm just looking forward to, you know, the drafting is fun, but feels like you're taking a test by the end of it. So those will be done in a few days. And like you guys said, we got games coming up 1 week away. And yeah, I can't wait. We're pretty much there.
Yeah, we are. We're right on the cusp. Unfortunately, we're going to have to wait a little bit longer for minor league, but you know, we should start getting some more news, and we'll have some real things to talk about and some reasons for minor leaguers to, you know, maybe be moving up or down once big league, you know, the ball starts and we start to get injuries and things like that. So it's going to start to be a little bit more interesting even before we get actual minor league games. A little bit of news and notes before we move into the podcast today. You know, if you're enjoying this show, if you have listened to the first three episodes where we previewed the other three levels, we previewed AAA Worcester in episode 1, we previewed AA Portland in episode 2, and High A Greenville in episode 3. If you enjoyed those, please go on, rate and review us, leave us a 5-star review. And also, I'll remind you, we have lots of other great podcasts on this network right now. We have two just regular Red Sox type review podcasts in the Red Seat podcast with myself and Keaton DeRocher. We also have the Over the Monster podcast with Matt Collins and Brian Joyner, and we have the Precap podcast with Shelly Verstrait and Keaton DeRocher. That's previewing and recapping Red Sox series, so that'll really start going once games start on April 1st. So we do appreciate that. Let's get right into it. Tonight we're going to be previewing the final and lowest level of the affiliated ball for the Red Sox here. Salem Red Sox, who used to be the High A affiliate, is now the Low A affiliate. Salem is in Shelly's extended backyard, I guess we'll call it that. I mean, how long of a ride is it for you, Shelly, to get down to Salem?
It's usually about two and a half hours. It depends on if I'm abiding by the speed limit or not. Yeah, I've been there a few times. It's a really, really good place. They really They have a really good facility there. They do a lot of, you know, really good, you know, minor league ballpark games and stuff. It's a really good place.
Yeah, it's good. It always surprises you if you are not familiar with Virginia, just how big it is and how much time you can spend driving from end to end of Virginia. I feel like I've actually spent 9 hours in the car just in Virginia.
Yeah, 100%. I used to travel for work, and just going from Richmond just to like the tippy tip point of Virginia, it took, you know, 9 hours, and it was the worst drive ever.
Yeah, after a while, it's just all green cow fields and all sorts of stuff. So, cool. So this is going to be a good level. But before we get to previewing the lineup and the pitchers and everything like that, I want to start off by talking about an article that Jen McCaffrey wrote at The Athletic about the Red Sox working on doing something a little bit different with their catchers. So, Shelley, what is going on with the Red Sox and their catcher development? And I'm assuming this is a little bit of a Veritech influence here, but what is going on and why should we pay attention to it?
Yeah, so a lot of the catchers over the summer last year and then coming into the spring this year are going more to a one-knee catcher stance. And there's a lot of, like, really, really good factor, you know, really, really good things that come about that. You know, one, they're not sitting in a crouch, which is really, you know, just really kills your knees, right? Mm-hmm. But then when they move down to just one knee, it really helps framing. Like, for, you know, just based on just not being on your knees, you can have, you have a bigger base, so you can just really focus on just like framing pitches. So it seems like a lot of catchers throughout the Red Sox system have been going to this. The one guy who hasn't, and that's, you know, Christian Vasquez, and, you know, the team was just like, yeah, we're just going to let, you know, we're going to let Vasquez just do his thing, which makes sense because he's, you know, just an amazing catcher. But yeah, it's really interesting to see just how the catchers are just focusing more on pitch framing and stuff like that. I found it really fascinating.
Yeah, it's interesting. I've never played catcher. I don't know if either of you guys have ever spent any time at catcher, but I assume that the downside to doing something like this is just that it would make it harder to react to pass balls.
Yeah.
Is that really all we're looking at there in that regard?
And there's one other thing that I've heard that it makes throwing out batters just a tad bit more difficult because you're in a different position. Right. You can't, you know, pop up and throw it down there, you know, throw it down the second or something. Yeah, I mean, if it saves, you know, catcher's knees and you maybe get some good framing, I'm okay with that.
I would think it'd be, that I've seen it more when there is not anyone on base, and it seems like now it might be a hybrid of something that would be used when there's runners on base as well. It's funny, the first name that came to mind was Tony Pena. I don't know if either of you remember watching him. And when I saw the headline, that's what I thought of, and Pena was mentioned in that article. But it seems, you know, like Shelley said, Vasquez, the framing, he was in the top three last year, so there's really no reason to try to introduce anything at that point of his career. But there was a mention that Plawecki is looking into that, and Connor Wong, and they're not forcing it on anyone, but some of the younger catching prospects, they're introducing that and letting them just have all the information and decide what to do with it.
Yeah, I don't recall Tech ever doing any of that. I don't know if either of you guys recall that, but I don't think he ever did anything on one leg.
Nope. Yeah, I don't think he did.
Yeah, I wonder what he thinks of all this, too, because of his increased role with the team. I know Tech was actually out there catching a little bit this spring for the guys, so that's pretty funny. The dude is a beast. He's still out there putting the equipment on.
Love it.
It's great having him around.
Yeah, it really is. All right, well, that's an interesting thing to look for anyhow. Catcher, still one of the weaker positions in the Red Sox system, but definitely something that Bloom has been doing a good job of addressing and I think is on the up and up. So let's get to the Salem lineup here. There is quite a bit to be interested in. We'll go right down the lineup and include the bench as well. At catcher, we have Jax Groshans. First base projects out to be Joe Davis. Again, this is all from SoxProspects.com. Second base, Nick York. Third base, Nick Northcutt. Shortstop, Brainer Bonacci. It's going to be exciting to see him stateside this year. Left fielder, Dean Miller. Center fielder, Sedane Rafaela. Right fielder, Nick Decker, Shelley's guy. DH, Matthew Lugo. And then on the bench, we have Jonathan Diaz, Alan Marrero, Nick Sogard, Cole Brandon, yep, he's still here, and Stephen Scott, who is another guy I forgot that I've seen, but he is a very powerful dude. Let's get right to the most exciting player. I don't know. It's probably a tie between these next two guys for most exciting guy on this roster. But I think the one that I am personally most excited to see, Bob, is Nick York, the new, very advanced bat for the Red Sox. Drafted last year, 18 years old. Very interesting. What can we expect from him? What are you going to be looking for to see from him developmentally at this level?
With York, it's interesting because he's only 18 years old, and we've gotten a couple of looks at him already between some at-bats that were posted last year in the fall. Of him kind of facing some at the alternate side, I should say, actually before the fall, where he was facing pitchers that were throwing, as he said, 10 miles an hour harder than he'd ever seen. And he was hanging in there. Pitchers like Brian Mata, who was throwing 98. And then we saw him again for a week or two in spring training. There was a video that was posted on a few accounts of him facing, I think it was AJ Minter, one of the Braves relievers in camp. And, you know, he was fighting off pitches, and he ended up working a single to right center field. And it was just a great at-bat, and you looked at it, and you see the tools that he has, kind of the potentially advanced hit tool, especially at 18 years old, which just is crazy to think about, you know, having that kind of confidence at that age. So he's a second baseman, obviously, was the first-round pick that went a little earlier than expected, but it allowed them to have a little more flexibility later in the draft, you know, with signing Blaze Jordan for, you know, kind of an overslot where York was the opposite in the first round. But I don't think that they felt that they were picking him in specifically for that. They really like him. He's got a great makeup, but he just needs time to develop. And we'll probably say this for almost every player, we're talking about low A. There's just less and less certainty. People have certain tools that, you know that these are what they're better at than other things, but there's just a lot of time that's going to be between now and potential, you know, seasons that players are in the big leagues and you know, more and more certainty of what they can and can't do. So, you know, York will need time to get a little bit bigger, develop power. But his bat speed is good. He's got a short, compact swing, and, you know, it's just kind of like has a little bit of power to the pull side as a right-handed hitter, and can go the other way, more of a gap or singles hitter to the other side. So, you know, he's kind of late on everything, but he should be. He's 18 years old, and that's to be expected. So hopefully he'll develop some strength and power, and, you know, he doesn't have the arm to be a shortstop, but it sounds like his kind of instincts and hands and his defense at second should be able to handle that position. So, you know, hopefully he'll turn 19 early this season. Hopefully is at each level for a year max, and maybe we see him, you know, 3 years from now in 2024 or somewhere around there.
Yeah, he's a really interesting guy. And one of the things that I'm going to be looking for this year, you know, at this level for him, especially with how advanced his bat has already kind of shown, Bob, is just, you know, to see how he handles the type of pitching that we typically see at low A. You know, the command with these guys can be a little bit loosey-goosey. A lot of decent fastballs, pretty good change-ups, but secondaries are not always the best at this level, too, so I'm going to be looking to see him not really taking that many walks. I don't really want to see him being passive. I want to see him attack. as a hitter, because I think that we want to see him come into his power a little bit. I know that he lost some weight over this past off season. He lost like 25 pounds, actually, which seems like a positive thing for him because he's a pretty strong, thick kid. But I'd like to see him get to some of that power and maintain some of the aggression. I'm glad to hear, though, that it seems like he's over the yips that were kind of plaguing him when he was drafted. So that's good. And I'll be looking to see what that second base defense looks like with the more athletic frame as well. So very, very interesting player. Shelley, you have the other very, very interesting bat here who's going to slide in at shortstop, Brenner Bernacchi. He's a bit of a mystery because really we haven't seen too much from him, but what can people expect when they finally lay eyes on Bernacchi?
Honestly, I think that we're going to find like a really, really slick shortstop. You know, his biggest calling card right now is his plus arm. So he definitely is going to be able to stick at the position. You know, back in 2019 down on the DSL, you know, he hit 279, 356, 397. That's not too bad for someone who was like 17 years old and is his first, you know, pro games. And I think if I remember correctly, I think Baseball America had him as like one of like their all-stars from the DSL, you know, back in 2019. So I really think that he's a really, really, really good baseball player. He did participate in fall instructs, and he really did impress, you know, scouts and people who were able to, you know, get some eyes on him. He has, you know, good athleticism, decent, you know, bat speed, bat control. The biggest thing that I'm looking from him is how is that hit tool coming around? Because currently, I think that he could be like an average hitter, but he still has some work to do. Again, he's only 18, and I'm not exactly sure how much power will be there. Again, like he did like some really interesting things in the DSL, but I need to see that power against more experienced pitchers before I really buy in. But this guy, I think he's gonna be a really, really fun guy to watch.
Yeah, I'm very interested to see him. I'm gonna be most curious about how the bat looks because, like you said, Shelley, he's a slick defender. But you know how much of that is gonna translate at the plate? Yeah, that's gonna be interesting for sure. Let's move down to the outfield here. Nick Decker, Shelley, he's been a guy who I know you've loved in the past. I have personally seen him hit some insanely long home runs. When he gets a hold of one, he is just a strong kid. What's holding him back? You know, I think that's the big question with Decker. Like, what does he need to work on to improve his stock as a prospect? And how can he take the leap to potentially be somebody that we can maybe talk about down the road as a major leaguer? Because I think that's still very much in question for him right now, what that future looks like.
Yeah, yeah, it really is. The biggest bugaboo when it comes with Nick Decker is basically lefties. He has a humongous platoon splits. He just, you know, he struck out so much, probably about like 40-45% of the time against lefties back in 2019. So that is basically his biggest bugaboo, is just the swing and miss. And even if he does correct that, there will probably just be just a lot of swing and miss in his game. But like you said, Jake, like his power is just, he could just, you know, just, you know, just yank it out there, just goes like forever. I as much as I love Nick Decker, I'm hoping that it comes around, but I don't know. It's been a while since he's been in like real games, and you know he came from a cold weather state, New Jersey, so he didn't get as many reps as someone from like Florida or California. So he's missing a lot of reps, right? So I'm still hoping that, you know, the Nick Decker that I loved back in 2019. I just love that power. I'm hoping that it comes around, but what I'll be watching with Decker is basically Again, the platoon splits and the swing and miss. Like, how bad is it? Like, I'm hoping that it's not too bad.
Yeah, 29.9% at Lowell was tough for a strikeout rate. But, I mean, 10 doubles, 5 triples, 6 home runs in 53 games, that'll play.
Yeah.
That's some serious, serious pop. And the WRCs were really good at both of those levels, too. And I know that you got to take that with a grain of salt, but, you know, it's it is really enticing to think about how well he can hit righties. And that, you know, it could matter.
Yeah. I don't know. And if he's just like a, you know, just a platoon righty who can just, like, smash, you know, I'm fine with that.
Yeah. Yeah. He's at least very interesting.
Yeah.
So have to pay attention to him. We better get to the next guy here. Matthew Lugo, who is slated to be the DH based off this, but I'm sure he will get a bunch of time in the field at both shortstop, second base, probably somewhere else around the infield. He's a really interesting guy, still just 19 years old. What type of player do you think the Red Sox have in Matthew Lugo? He's another one I haven't had really a chance to see at all, but 6'1", 185, like, kind of an athletic-looking kid. Bob, what's the deal with Lugo?
Yeah, so with Lugo, you know, with Bonacci being a shortstop, and that is probably Lugo's primary position as well. Like you said, we'll probably see both of them get some reps there this year. But he can move around. He has a great arm. He has great range. And kind of what you see on Lugo is just loud tools. There's a lot of potential. And like I said, who knows how many paths it could take. Hopefully he's able to utilize all that. But he has, you know, potentially average or better for all of the five tools. And seems to have that utility infielder floor at the very least. Whether he needs to move off to another position or play multiple, you know, I've even kind of seen people wonder if he could be long-term an outfield option if the infield positions are blocked. You know, think of what Jaron Duran did from second base becoming an outfielder, you know, that type of thing. So he's early on in his development. He was a second-round pick, just like Decker, and this was a year later in 2019. So he has, you know, just a little bit of everything with the tools, but he needs to build more strength. He needs to improve pitch recognition, and kind of defensively needs his fundamentals to improve. He's got great athleticism, but just same thing. Needs a few years, just like York and Bonacci and all the guys that we're talking about. Needs 3-4 years to work on those fundamentals, recognize, you know, off-speed pitches, stay in the zone. But he's, yep, yeah, so he's early on his development, but I am excited to get a look at Lugo in a full season. He's played 30-something games so far in the Gulf Coast Rookie League in 2019. So he hit .257, but there's not a whole lot you can take off of 136 at-bats, and it's been 2 years now, so it'll be interesting to see what Lugo can do this year.
Yeah, it will be. And as a second rounder, I think kind of a lot has been expected out of Lugo. One of the things that is a little bit worrisome is, and this is a report from Fantrax, but the fact that his bat speed is kind of an issue right now and hasn't been as explosive as they maybe expected it to be. That'll be something to watch for, too, as we finally get to see a little bit more of him this season and see how that develops and if that takes a step forward at all. And if he looks a little bit more athletic, that'll be, you know, something to check out for sure. All right, let's move on to the pitching side of things. The rotation is going to be pretty interesting at Salem. We have Aldo Ramirez, right-handed pitcher, Jorge Rodriguez, lefty, Shane Drouin and Jeremy Wu Yellen, both recent draftees, both left-handers. Jordan DiValerio is also a right-hander. And then we have a couple piggyback starters as well, Chi-Jung Liu, Brock Bell. And in the bullpen, we have left-hander Brandon Solucci, right-hander Felix Cepeda, right-hander Dylan Speck. And then the rest of the bullpen is right-handed as well. Yoelvis Guedes, Jose Espada, Zach Bryant, and Casey Sutherland. Let's start with the rotation here. definitely a very, very interesting and very advanced guy, Bob, is Aldo Ramirez. Tell us about what Aldo Ramirez brings to the table right now, and why should we be excited by the package that is Aldo Ramirez?
All right, so with Aldo Ramirez, he's a guy that has always kind of been young age-wise for his level. He pitched at the DSL at 17 years old, throwing 23 innings, giving up one earned run, which is pretty spectacular even at that level. At the age of 17, having a 0.39 ERA and a 0.57 whip. And you'll notice that he's a strike thrower. He has three solid pitches that make him a potential starter down the line. So that was the first year, and then the following year he was at Lowell in 2019 at 3.94 ERA, which again, 18 years old, low A. He threw 62 innings, 13 starts, averaged more than a strikeout per inning, and kept the walks down, had just 16 walks in 62 innings. So, as time has passed, I've been more into the command and control pitchers, and Ramirez has that base and did both of those years. And then to add to that, in 2020, he, at the different alternate sites and whatnot, added velocity to what was already kind of described as a high spin fastball that was effective even when he was throwing in the low 90s. And he was clocked closer to 95 and 96 at one point. And it's just a fastball with life is how it's described. So, high spin, if he can throw it up in the zone, he could be really effective. And then he has two potential off-speed pitches. He has a changeup that is his best secondary pitch that he throws 86 to 88 miles an hour that has kind of a splitter drop to it. And he seems to have a good feel for and was a lot better in 2020 with that pitch. It became clear that was, at least for now, his secondary pitch after he hadn't used it a whole lot the season before that. And then he has a curveball that I guess he kind of throws in any count and has good feel for if he needs a strike. He can, even if it's the third best pitch kind of rating wise, he feels pretty confident to throw strikes. So he hasn't turned 20 yet. For me, last week I was talking about how Gilberto Jimenez is the hitter that I'm most excited to see in a full season, just to see what kind of advancements that had happened in the last 2 years that for guys that we didn't know as much about or haven't seen as much. And on the pitching side of things, that's Aldo Ramirez for me. The reports were he shot up probably faster than just about anybody between 2019 gameplay and spring training here.
Yeah, he's super exciting, man. And the changeup is just such a nasty pitch for him. I haven't seen that changeup a few times. It's just, it's deadly. And like you said, man, the fact that he already has that built-in command profile makes this somebody to get excited on. The Red Sox haven't done a great job of developing pitchers over the years, but, a guy with this many weapons and that type of feel at this age, it seems like this is as good a shot as anybody to stick as a starter. So, yeah, I totally second the excitement there with Aldo Ramirez. I'm going to be looking for him big time this year. All right, Shelley, let's talk about some lefties here. Jorge Rodriguez, tell me what to expect from him. He's a name that I'm actually not very familiar with.
Yeah, he's a really interesting guy. He was signed out of Mexico back in 2017. While he's on the smaller side, he's like 5'11", he's just basically a soft tossing command, control guy. He has performed really, really well, in 2019, in the GCL at the age of 18, he had a 1.91 ERA with a 0.94 whip. He made it up to Lowell that year as well. But when he was in the GCL, he was just blowing past guys. Like, he was just basically just way advanced. And he was, 2 years younger than, the typical age there at the GCL. So he's a really interesting guy. I don't think that he's, like a frontline starter. Definitely not. But, I mean, with that command and control And it seems, at least in the lower levels, that he knows how to work pitches, use his pitches, even though his fastball is only like in the high 80s, low 90s. He knows where to put those pitches. And that's just really, really, you know, really, really enticing. He's got a really, really good curveball. Like I said, I don't know if how far he can go, you know, because, again, he doesn't throw very hard and he's kind of small. But I just love guys who just know, you know where to put the ball. Like, they just have the command. So that's what I'm watching. See how far he can kind of go with not lights out velocity.
All right. Well, you have set me up very well to talk about these next two lefties, because they seem to be the exact opposite of Jorge Rodriguez. Shane Drouin and Jeremy Wu Yellen, who the Red Sox just drafted last year. I just want to hit on these guys very quickly, but they both do not know where the ball is going all the time. But they actually do have a pretty tremendous physical presence on the mound, especially Shane Drouin, who's somebody I'm excited about. He's a 6'3 lefty, 22 years old, out of Florida State. Struck out a bunch of guys with Florida State, but also had some tremendously bad walk issues. In fact, in the full season in 2019 with Florida State, he walked 48 guys while striking out 71 in 51 and two-thirds innings. That's a lot of walks. So the strikeout stuff through the roof, walks and hits still a little bit too frequent, but you know, it's a really exciting combination of fastball, curveball, changeup. Somebody who I think, I'm not really thinking that this is going to be a long-term starter. The command would have to really, really tick up. But I think that this is potentially somebody who could play out of the bullpen. Jeremy Wu Yellen, similarly physical guy, 6'2", 210, lefty. Great fastball, upper 90s fastball, slider that I really like. Changeup, which apparently reports say it can be effective against righties. I don't know too much about him. I mean, he played for Hawaii, so it's not like I'm staying up for that time zone. And I don't think any Hawaii baseball was ever televised. But, you know, interesting players nonetheless. And lefties. I mean, you can never have enough lefties, right?
Exactly.
Absolutely. Agreed.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so from lefties, let's go to a guy who I think could be as big a mystery as anyone that we've talked about tonight. Right-hander Chi Jung Liu. Bob, he's projected to sort of be a piggyback guy. What is Chi Jung Liu? I mean, this guy we don't know anything about, really. What do we know at this point?
Yeah, so Chi Jung Liu came over in 2019 as a J2 selection from Taiwan, and they actually gave him a $750,000 bonus as part of that class. And you read some of the reports from then, and he was throwing in the mid to sometimes high 90s, you know, abroad before coming over. And, you know, the Fangraphs report says that he was clocked at 98 to 101 at times. I don't know what kind of radar guns those were, but that was the report, because when he came over to Instructs, he was throwing in the low 90s last year, which was a totally different pitcher. Now, I think we all know that, especially if you were living in the United States for the first time, last year might have been a little strange to try to adjust and play baseball as a teenager. So this is obviously going to be important to see how hard he's throwing, because the fastball has been a really good pitch in the past for the reports. I haven't, just like Hawaii, I haven't seen a whole lot of Taiwan baseball, but that's what, you know, we've heard. Fastball as well as a slider and a splitter that have flashed as plus pitches too. So it's hard to know. There's been inconsistency here. Obviously didn't look great the first time around, probably not what they expected when they gave him that bonus, but I think you kind of throw that year out for a lot of people. First time here in a shortened season with that amount of time off. So it'll be just interesting to see when he starts pitching at low A this year, what Chi Jung Liu has to offer.
I'm surprised you don't have your Taiwan Fantasy Baseball League stats you're going yet, Bob. It's quite a shock to me. I thought you'd be all over that.
The KBO got some hype last year, but I didn't quite get to the Taiwan League. So
that's the next frontier.
I'll do my
I
best
guess.
Going forward.
Yeah, okay. Definitely. Yeah, that's we're gonna start. We're gonna have an NPB league. We're gonna have a KBO league, and next we're gonna have a Taiwan league. And if we're lucky, we'll get an Australian winter ball league as well. So all right. we'll see what we can do.
Perfect.
We do know quite a bit more about this next guy, though, Shelley, and he projects to be one of the better guys in this bullpen. Brendan Cellucci, somebody who could find himself moving pretty quickly, potentially not spending a whole ton of time in Salem before he makes his way to Greenville. What do we know about Cellucci at this point, and what kind of pitcher is he right now?
Yeah, I'm pretty excited to see how fast he actually does move. He's 22 years old. He's a left-handed reliever. He's a fastball slider guy. His fastball, sits around like the mid 90s. He's got a really, really good slider that has a really, really high spin rate. Mm. The only thing is he struggles with command. He struggled with command when he was at Tulane. He struggled with command when he was at Lowell. So that is basically what we're going to watch here. Can Cellucci hit the broadside of a barn? I really think he can. If he can, he will move very, very quickly because that fastball slider combination could be lethal out of the bullpen. We just hoping and praying for the command.
I wonder if he overlapped at Tulane with Cody Hosey. Do you know when he was drafted, Cellucci?
I don't know. I'm guessing 2019. Because that was his first year.
2019, okay. So maybe he did for a year.
12th round in 19.
Okay, nice. Okay. Yeah, maybe they did overlap there. Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah, good city to play baseball in.
Sure.
So, yeah, that's interesting. All right, well, that's the level. This is probably more around the length of podcast you can expect from us going forward, like this or a little bit shorter, just to get you caught up on these levels. So a little bit less to talk about tonight. No rule train just dropped on our heads right before we were about to record. So sure, we weren't too upset about that. you can find all of us on Twitter. Again, reach out if you have any questions or if there's anything we can answer for you about prospects. We're happy to give it the old college try. You can find Bob at BobOsgood15. You can find Shelly at ShellyV_643. You can find me at DevJake. We do appreciate you being with us today, making us part of your routine, and we'll be with you again next week.